This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
Good to see you guys, and good to, for those that are online as well, to have you with us. It's just good to be alive, and it's cold out there. Can we agree on that, if nothing else? And some people it's really cold, other people it's just kind of cold, depending on where you're from. But if you're at home, you're all nice and toasty, we hope, and in the room it feels good, so we are good, huh? There's no reason to be down. There's every reason to be happy, so glad that you're here. Hey, as you are here, if you like to follow along, we're going to tell you, go ahead and open your Bibles, Genesis 12, that's where we're going to be. If you'll go ahead and get there. And while you're doing that, we are asking everyone to check in so we kind of know who we are. COVID has disrupted so many things. And so we're just asking people to check in. If you're online, it should be pinned up there, so you can just go in and check in. If you're in the room, the QR code, you can just get your camera and kind of do it that way. There's sermon notes to follow along. There's an outline today if you like to do that and kind of follow the message. There's fill-in-the-blank kind of things. And we really want you to be able to take this with you to help you in your daily walk with Jesus. So I know I've told you a lot of things to do, so kind of take a minute to that, catch a breath, and get checked in and get your Bibles ready. While you're doing that, I'm going to catch you up on what we're doing here at Bridges. We have been in the book of Genesis. We're calling this series Origin Stories. And in this series, we are looking at Genesis, which is our origin. It's where we are from, right? It's why we are the way we are. It's why we deal with some of the things that we deal with. It is the source or the headwaters of all of human history, all the way back to the creation. And so we've been looking at the stories in Genesis, the accounts, and really just focusing on those and go, okay, based on that, what does that mean for me? And what does it mean for my relationship with God, which is the most important relationship that we have in the world, right? Through Jesus Christ, that we can have a personal relationship with God. So we're looking at the origin, going, what has that got to do with me, and what does God have to say to me? Now, today we are looking at the book of Genesis in chapter 12, and I will tell you that this chapter and the individual we're going to look at is probably one of the most important things that we will ever look at in our faith journey, short of looking at Jesus Christ. The individual we're going to look at today, I think, is either, if Jesus is way up here, right, everything's about Jesus. But if you look at the Old Testament, this individual we're going to look at, everything's based on his life with God. It really set the example, it set the stage for everything else. This individual we're going to look at today is the father of two nations, meaning he's the ethnic father of the Jews and the Muslims. Okay, they both trace back their lineage all the way back to this one individual, and this is where they point to. And because of some conflict over 4,000 years ago, they're still dealing with it today. I grew up with two girls in my high school. They were Palestinians, and they still were talking about this because of their homeland, okay? And so I had friends that were still dealing with a conflict that was from over 4,000 years old. And we're still doing it in our world today. This individual is the founder, basically, if you look at it, really extrapolate out, not just Islam and not just Judaism, but if you look back, also Christianity, we can trace back our faith journey to him. And so a lot of things going on with this one individual. And if you're in a small group, and we encourage you to be in a small group, we are studying the book of Galatians. And when you get to chapter 3, you're going to want to know about this individual because it'll help you understand when Paul writes in Galatians about how to have this relationship with God, a right relationship. So that's why he's such a key figure today. So you probably know who I'm talking about. We're going to introduce him. And I will say the four verses we're going to use today, I will tell you this, they are instrumental in my life. My life is completely different because of how God used the four verses we're going to use today. And I can say with confidence, if I had not encountered these four verses and if God had not had spoken to me in the way he did, our family would not be here today in this area. Bridges would not exist the way it does. Maybe somebody else would have done it. Maybe something else entirely. All right? Except for these four verses were so impactful in my life. It set my life on a whole different direction and is impacting our family today. And I will guess, if you really are willing to dive into those, it might change your life today too. So let's look at these four verses, Genesis chapter 12, kind of as we read this, just basically say to God, what do you want me to see today? What do you want me to learn from your word? So Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 4. This is how it begins. Now the Lord said to Abram, so you know who we're talking about, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Lot was his nephew. And Abram was 75 years old. So if you're in that age bracket or a little older, just like there's still, God still has things for you. He was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And this is what we're going to look at today. So before we move on, let's pray together. Father God, today we come before you and just lay our life before you. And as you call us to you a little closer, a little further, and some for the first time, we ask you to draw us into this deeper, richer relationship with you. And I pray you'll speak to us through this in the name of Jesus. Amen. In these four verses, we're going to see an example, I think, of how God relates to us today. And what God is talking about in these four verses with this guy named Abram is something called a faith journey. And if Jesus has called you to follow him and you've answered the call, then you're on a faith journey. And in many ways, it's going to follow the same journey that Abram was on, because Abram is the example. And we're going to look at how this fits in our life and how he's going to use you in something very similar. So today there's an outline to kind of follow so that if you're following Jesus, you go, either I'm going to face these things or I already have faced these things, and it's going to help me chart out where God's going to take me next. And on this faith journey, there are really four keys or four expectations that you can have and I can have to know what is God going to do in my life from here on out as I follow Jesus. And so as we go through this outline, here's number one. Here's the first key to really understanding a faith journey is number one is we go to places we've never been before. When you agree to follow Jesus, he takes you to places that you've never been before. And here's the deal. You can't stay where you are and follow Jesus at the same time. This is key. You can't stay where you are and follow Jesus at the same time. We're going to talk about what that looks like. So you can't stay where you are and follow Jesus at the same time. This is what God told this individual named Abram. He said to him in verse 1, go. It's one of the biggest things that God says to us. Go. Leave your country, leave your family and your family's life and their land, and go to a place that I will show you. I'm not going to tell you where it is yet. The only way you're going to discover it is if you go with me. And I'm showing it as you go. That's how it works with God. Very rarely does he say, you're doing this for the rest of your life. Most of the time, it's just a little piece at a time. Come with me. We're going on this journey, and I will show you this land. And that is the faith journey that he starts us on. If you know Abram's story, you know that in Acts chapter 7 and Genesis chapter 11, we're told that Abram was from a place called Ur of the Chaldeans, okay? It's in Iraq today. It's where the Tigris and Euphrates, two rivers who still exist, where they met. Now, the Euphrates has moved over time, but 4,000 years ago, they all came together in this one area, Ur. And just so you know what Ur was like, it was this beautiful city. And everybody had these nice homes they found. They've excavated it. They had like two-story houses. It was all nicely proportioned, well-built homes. It was very fertile ground, so crops grew very readily there. They had transportation up and down the rivers. And there was a lot of sheep herding going on. That's important. Abram was a sheep herder, and he did very well there probably. And God said, I want you to leave all that. I want you to leave your family. I want you to leave what you're comfortable with. I want you to leave this center of civilization where you're from, because that's what it was, and I want you to go to a place that I'm going to show you. It's over hundreds of miles away. It's going to take you months to get there. You're going to go up to Haran, which means caravan city, and then you're going to come down the promised land. I'm going to show you all that, but basically just go to this place that I'll show you, and it's all about change, right? In other words, your life is going to change. Now, let's just deal. Let's see. I want to see who's in the room today. So, if you like to deal with change, raise your hand. How many people like to deal with change? There's some of you. How many hate change? Most of you, right? Maybe split in this room. Some people just don't like change, right? And some people like it because when change comes, then it's something better, you hope. And if it's comfortable, you don't want change. Now, who loves to be changed the most are babies, right? But most babies like to be changed when it gets bad enough, they have to be changed, right? Some don't like it till then, but when it gets bad enough, they want to be changed. But we are facing constant change right now, aren't we? Those of you that have been around for a while, you know that this is just every day, it's just change. It's change, change. I was looking at an article the other day talking about worship songs. For hundreds of years, people worshiped using hymns. Same hymns every week or every few weeks, right? That lasted for hundreds of years. And some of you lived through the worship wars, right? You were in a church where they fought over that. And then it changed to praise songs. And at first, a praise song would hang out for 10 years. And then it went to 3 to 4 years. And now it's down to weeks, right? There's always a new one. There's always the newest song. But it's changed. For thousands of years, people read the scriptures, either handwritten or printed in front of them. Most of us look on our phone today to read the scriptures. It's changed. Since 9/11, the whole world's changed, right? And not only that, daily life has been changed. Technology is changing. The way you connect with people changes. Doing church online has changed. Everything is changing so fast. Then COVID sped everything up 3 to 5 years, right? It's just sped everything way up. And so if you don't like change, you're having to be forced to change every single day. And you're having to go through anxiety, different things happening to you because you're going, I don't like change. But here's the deal. When you're following Jesus, he's going to call you to a life of change. This is what happened to Abram. He was comfortable. And then God kept moving him because God wants us to be dependent on him. And God has a plan and God has a purpose. And he keeps moving us around in his direction, but it's always for the good. It's always for the good. These four verses were so impactful for my life. I've told my story. If you've been here for a while, you know that my story was Stacy and I had been married for several years. My wife, we were living in Southern California where it never gets this cold, all right? Whenever it gets this cold, my wife will go back and look at the weather in Southern California and go, why, it's 70 degrees there. Our friends in Southern California are sending us these things. It's 80 degrees. We're by the pool, okay? And we're looking at these things going, oh, it's a little bit chilly here today. It's cold. It's down in the teens. It wasn't like that. We were at jobs both of us loved. I loved my job. I was teaching at a Christian high school. I loved the people I work with. I loved the students. We were going on missions trips. I loved everything about it, but I felt God saying, change is coming. And if you follow Jesus, there's been times in your life where you heard that change is coming. And you go, what kind of change? What are you talking about, God? And I was praying through this, okay, God, what are you doing? And I ran into these verses. Go to a land I will show you. And that became my understanding of what God was going to do. He's going to show me something at some point. Now, I was teaching school, and I got away with it for years. I was teaching a Christian school. I was teaching Bible. And I had radio, TV, film, religious studies, double major at Carolina. Okay, I had no business teaching Bible. I got my degree from a secular university who happened to win yesterday against some unknown team that we beat. Those of you who know what I'm talking about, you know who I'm talking about, okay? But anyway, that's where I went to school. I was teaching without a credential, and every year I go, I want an exemption. And every year they gave me an exemption. Get an exemption, get an exemption. Until the day they said, you can have no more exemptions. You have to go back to school. So I started going, okay, I'm going to go back to school. I thought that was the change. I was going around looking at master's degrees. I was looking at different stuff. You know, when you're kind of in that role where you're thinking change is coming, don't you start looking at everything? You ever been there before? You start looking at moving and looking at different opportunities. So I went down to different schools. Nothing seemed right. And then one day I showed up at a seminary. I don't even know why. Because it wasn't going to give me a credential. I couldn't have done teaching based on that. Except maybe they would have let me teach Bible. They were still not sure. But I sat down. I can close my eyes and I can still see it. I sat down in the president's office. And Dr. Sam Simmons was sitting across. That was the president. And he had been in Xerox, the company of Xerox, for most of his life. And God had called him out of the business world into ministry. And he's sitting across the table from me. I'm telling him this story. And he looked me in the eye. And this is what he said. He says, you probably feel like Abram. And God is calling to you to a land he will show you. And I will tell you, the hairs on the back of my neck stood up. Has it ever happened to you where you just go, okay, God, it's not Dr. Sam Simmons speaking to me. It is you. And I knew at that moment, it just kind of like in a moment, it's like your life is going to be different, completely different. And it was that day that, like, we didn't have any kids at that time. Right after that, Stacy got pregnant. It's like, oh, we're really going to go on this journey. It took me 4.5 years to finish seminary. When I was done, this is the agreement we made with God. God, send us to North Carolina, if you will. If not, somewhere warm, please, all right? When it didn't open up anything warm or anything in North Carolina, we finally just changed. You know how God will break you and say, okay, God, wherever you want us to go, we'll go. And it's that when we time that we heard God say, hey, there's a job in Winston-Salem, Rural Hall area, go there. And I would have no idea at that time that I'd be in Pofftown, North Carolina. I didn't know how you spell that at the time. In living there and serving at Bridges Church and all that God had for me. But that was the journey. And it's because God spoke through 4 verses. He says, go to a place I will show you. And we're still learning about that. The writer of Hebrews took this and put it in a little different way. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive his inheritance. So something good. And he went out, and I love this part, not knowing where he was going. You ever done that before? Not knowing where he was going. And some of you, this is very literal. God says move. COVID has experienced, for a lot of people, has been the experience of the great resignation and the great migration. And you've probably heard about this. The great resignation, where people are turning around just going, I'm done with this job. I don't like it. I didn't like it before, but now there's so many opportunities, so they quit and they've moved. And for the Christ follower, you've heard God say, change jobs. For some people, it's just an actual move. We've had several families in the church that have just moved because they could during this time. I was listening to a podcaster the other day. He says, I can do my job anywhere. Why do it from where I was? I'm going to the beach. That sounds really good, doesn't it? If you can do your job at the beach, why not? But as God calls us around, we move. And some people, it's a very literal move. Go here. And you leave behind your family, and you leave behind what's comfortable, and you go where God calls you. For some of us, it's figurative, right? You're not called to go to a different place. You're called to a different mindset or a different lifestyle. For some people, it's like, get out of that relationship. It's not healthy for you. For some people, it's move into a new relationship, get married. For some people, it's start college. We have a lot of people going back to college because they took a gap year. They saw what life was like after COVID. They go, I want to go to school. So we have a lot of people translating their life into that new life. We have people that spiritually are changing, right? They're going from one place to another spiritually. Now, it's interesting about Abram, and this story is both in the Midrash, which is the rabbinic teachings, okay? They would look at scripture and they write things down, and it's word for word in the Quran. So this will surprise you, the story about Abram. We don't have it in the Bible. I don't know for sure it's true, but this is a story that when he was younger, his father used to make idols. In Ur, we know there was a lot of polytheism. They worshipped a lot of gods. And in this story, Abram said, there's only one God. So he took the gods that his father had made, these little idols. He destroyed them all except for one. And he told the people, if you believe in idols, that idol did it. If you don't believe in idols, then why do you have them? And that's kind of the story that's passed around, that Abram was trying to move people from polytheism to monotheism. For the first time in human history, people began to worship one God. I don't know if the story's true or not, but it is true. He left polytheism to know the personal God, Yahweh. For some of us in the room, maybe God's moved you from agnostic. And if you're here, it's probably because he's drawing you, and maybe you're starting to cross a line that maybe God does exist. And I'm interested in knowing him if he does. And that's how God moves you. Here's what I mostly see. And maybe you see it too. A lot of people are living their life and they're going, I used to be really close to this God. And I used to be on fire for him. And I used to be really close to him, but I'm not now. And he is starting to draw me back to him. Slowly, gently, carefully. But I'm starting to get interested in him again and how to follow him. And I see people begin to move that way as God uses the circumstances of COVID. But it's a journey, isn't it? It's a faith journey that God is bringing us on. And he will not let you stay where you are. You're going to experience change as you go. And change is good when change is for the better. Second key about this journey, number two, not only does he move us around to new places, but we discover opportunities we never had before. This is the positive part. When you follow God, he's going to bless you. And you're going to have opportunities you never knew existed. And that's exactly what happened to Abram. As God called him out of Ur to the promised land, that we know as Cana, he went there and had new opportunities he never had before. And this is true for us. In verse 2, it says this, God speaking to him, drawing him to him. He says, look, when you go, this is what I'm going to do for you. I will make you into a great nation. You're going to be the head, the father of what we now know as the Jews. And they're all going to look to you as their father. That's what Abram means, the father, the exalted father. How many people do you know are the father of an ethnic nation? None of us. But he was the head of two, the Muslims and the Jews. And they all look back to him and say, this unknown person from this area is where we came from. That's a big blessing. Then he said, I'm going to bless you. Now, just know this, in Abram's life, they were financial blessings as were spiritual ones, okay? He became rich. It doesn't happen to everybody. He did get a lot of flocks. He was a shepherd. He got more and more. He was blessed. He got new lands. He got all kinds of material things, okay? That happened to him. It happens to some of us. It doesn't happen to everybody. If you're born here in the U.S., if you live in the U.S., you're richer than most of the world, so we are blessed financially. But here's the big deal. He was blessed in so many other ways. He was blessed with children. He was blessed with a beautiful wife who even in her 70s and 80s, people are going, she's really gorgeous. I mean, that's one of the things you keep seeing throughout Genesis. They kept pointing out how gorgeous she was. She was a good wife. He was blessed that way. But the big thing he was blessed with, the most important thing, was a personal relationship with God. And he knew God. And he became a friend of God. And that's offered to us as well. This relationship of friendship, personal. You don't have to go through someone else. This was one of the greatest blessings he received, and it's open to all of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says this, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. If you're a person who likes to write down scripture and circle things, look at the word all. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need. This is how God blesses us. For many of us, you think about it, he gives you a peace, right? So you just take anxiety off the table. God says, I want to replace that with peace. He gives you hope. He says, take despair off the table. I want to give you hope. He says, I want to give you experience with me in worship that just is so filling. He goes, take emptiness and loneliness off the table and put me on. That's a blessing that we have. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he gives you salvation and grace. And there's no better blessing in the whole world except this, that you know where you're going when you die and you know the Lord as your Lord and Savior and you are at peace with him. That is a huge blessing that God blesses us with. And when you're on this faith journey, that's what it's all about, right? Knowing him and being secure in him. And so when you're on this faith journey, God says, come with me and I will bless you, every one of you. Again, if you're looking for financial things, it's not always like that, but they're definitely internal spiritual things that we're all blessed with. So use those opportunities. Sometimes they're open doors at bridges. We get all kinds of open doors. I've met some crazy, amazing people in our time here. We've seen God move us around. We've seen God bless us with different facilities. We've been in four different places. He's moved us around. But every time we run into people and open doors, and God says, it's me. It's me. And if you've ever lived that life of faith, you just see it. God just keeps showing up and said, it's me. I just opened another door. Here's another opportunity. But on the other side of that, there's also number three, is that we face challenges we've never faced before. And isn't that true? I mean, we move into new situations and we're going to face new challenges like COVID. We have never faced anything like this, and it's one challenge after another, right? We're going to face all kinds of challenges. The other day, I was listening to somebody, and they said they thought that COVID was going to be like a tunnel you went through and you came out the other side. And he said, I don't see that anymore. I see it as a series of curves. You go around one, up, there's another curve up there. You go around that, there's another curve. And so we just keep going around curves. And it's a challenge. But here's the thing about challenges. They teach us dependence on God. And they require faith in God. And so there's a value to them. In Genesis 12:3, this is what God said. I will bless those who bless you. You're going to have some good things. And him who dishonors you, I will curse. Abram got dishonored. He ran into people who didn't like him. He was a foreigner in this new land, and they did not care for him. They got jealous of him. They caused him to face some major troubles in his life. They kidnapped his nephew Lot. He had to form an army and go get him back. Twice, powerful men wanted to take his wife away. He kept kind of lying and said, "He's my sister, right? This is my sister." And the people, these guys would say, "She's really beautiful. We want her as my wife." And they would try to take her, and they'd find out later on it wasn't his sister. They were related. Okay, don't get upset about that. They were related. But he would lie about it. And then when they found out, they'd bring her back. This is a constant challenge he faced. Over and over, he would face challenges. And if you follow Jesus, you will face challenges. They will come up. In Hebrews 11:9, when talking about this, the writer said, and when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. Now, some people like living in tents. I don't know if you want to live in a tent the rest of your life, but can you imagine? He moved from having a home to every day he's living in a tent and he's being moved around. That's a challenge. Some of you are facing financial challenges, and God could snap you out of it instantly, right? And he hasn't. And you go, why am I facing this? Some of you are facing health issues, challenges. And God could heal you right away, and you're going, why haven't I been healed? Some of you are facing relationship issues, and you go, why is that there? We're going to talk about this, but just know when you follow Jesus, when you're in a life of faith, you're going to face challenges, and they're going to be there, and God wants you to move through it. I spent time with three different pastors this week. All three of them told me it's the hardest time of their life. One of them is facing, and it's a smaller church, three young people who have either committed suicide or tried to commit suicide or thinking about it. And they're trying to take care of all three of them at the same time. Another one is facing just multiple issues. Another one's at a large church, and he told me he's never experienced anything where it's just so split. The church is so split on all these social issues that we're dealing with. Mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine. Racism, not, you know, different things like this, and they're all just political, they're split. And this was a church that was focused on Jesus going into COVID, and now they're going this way. And he goes, I don't know what to do. And maybe you have that in your own family, right? And we're going, well, how do we deal with this? And the answer is, we go by faith. And we trust God, and we say, God, lead us through these challenges, and God always comes through. And we're going to see that throughout this series, as God takes Abram through challenge after challenge, and every time, God comes through for him. Well, the fourth kind of key to this journey that we're on, number four, the last one, is we become someone we have never been before on this faith journey, and that's the most important one. We become someone we've never been before. God takes us from where we are, and he makes us into someone different. We become someone we've never been before. Genesis 12:4, if you were to ask me why Abram, there's three words. We're not told in Scripture why, but there's three words that kind of explain it. When God said to him, go to a land I will show you, verse 4 says, so Abram went. He had just enough faith to put one foot in front of the other. Maybe that's all he had. He had a lot of growing to do, but he had that, take a step. And that's all he asks for you. And then during the journey, from then on, he will change you. From then on, he'll lead you into places where you will become someone different. I look at my life from God calling me, I'm a completely different person. There's still things he's working on, but he has changed me. Here's kind of in a nutshell, this is what happened to Abram on the journey. He went through several things. First of all, he went from conniving to compliant. Every time that someone came to him and they said, Abram, your wife is sure gorgeous, he would say, she's just my sister. She's just my sister. He was a conniver. He would try to manipulate things. He would try to lie to people to get what he wanted. But by the end of his story, he's very compliant to God. He just trusts God completely. I don't have to do this kind of stuff. I don't have to become someone that I'm not proud of. He went from confusion to clarity. He never really understood for about 25 years what God meant when God said, you're going to have a son. He and his wife tried to manipulate the story, right? And they brought in Hagar, and they had a son. He had a son with Hagar, and it just created all these issues. But by the end, he's very clear what God wants him to do. So clear, he's willing to almost give up what God had given him. He went from weak to meek. And when I say weak, I don't mean physically. I meant morally. He was not strong in that area. But by the end, he was meek. That doesn't mean weak. It means under God's control. And that's where God takes us. He went from controlling to trusting. Again, he tried to control a situation. Sometimes we try to do that. We try to make things happen. By the end of the story, he is completely trusting in God. He went from independent to dependent, meaning he was on his own. And then by the end, he was totally dependent on God, which is what God's doing. And finally, he was fearful to faithful. Instead of being afraid of the people around him, he became faithful to God because God was faithful back to him. You can look at those, and probably if you're on a faith journey, you're on one of those yourself. There's something in that you're probably tracking with God as well, and he is changing you on the inside, and you might even not notice it until the end. But this is what God does. It's interesting when you look at Abram's life. Again, he had sheep. He took care of sheep. He had a lot of those. The Bible talks a lot about us being sheep. This is what Jesus calls us, his sheep. It's his analogy, not mine. But I did see a story last year that kind of made me think. Then we have a picture. This is a story of Barak. I don't know if you know Barak. Barak, the sheep, in 2021 was found in North Melbourne, Australia, okay, just north of there. He was wandering through the woods. They don't know where he came from, but a guy working on a ranch saw Barak, and that word again means blessed, but he doesn't look blessed, right? What had happened to him was he'd gone out on his own little journey, and he'd put on 78 pounds of wool, okay? So much so that he couldn't see anymore, he couldn't eat, he was having trouble walking because he's not that big. And he was wandering around, and they brought him in. He couldn't even walk in. They had to carry him on a trailer, get him out. And they took all the wool off, right? You just see it. And you can watch the TikTok video. It's like millions of people have seen this story of Barak the sheep. And when he was completely shorn, right, and he was back to being a regular sheep, they said the biggest issue he had to learn was trust. That in his time away, they don't know how long he wandered out in the woods by himself. He didn't learn to trust anybody. And he had to learn to trust people, that they meant it for good and they were taking care of him. And as a sheep doesn't understand all the time all that's happening to him, after a while he began to trust his keepers. Now, I'm not calling you sheep, okay? That's Jesus. He called us sheep. And basically what he says to us is, when you come to me, you're carrying a lot of stuff. You're carrying a lot of stuff that you don't need to carry. And when you start to follow Jesus by faith, he says, let's get rid of all that stuff. And let's be free of it. Let's get rid of the fear. Let's get rid of the anxiety. Let's get rid of the things that keep me from you. Let's get rid of the sin in your life. And let me restore you to the way that you need to be. But in order for that to happen, you have to trust me by faith. It's the journey we're on, right? Jesus says, come. Come and follow me. And I will make you well. And I will make you safe. And I will give you all that you need. That's the journey. I want to close with this verse. Peter understood all this very, very well. And in his letter to the different churches, he wrote this about what we go through. He said this, you rejoice. Though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. So the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is what he said. You are on a faith journey. And it's just for a little while, you're going to go through some really tough stuff. Compared to eternity, the 2 years of COVID is a blink of the eye. Compared to the eternity, the time that you're feeling lonely is a blink in the eye. For the times that we deal with physical issues, it's just a blink in the eye. It's just very short compared to all eternity. It's just this faith journey we're on. You're going to go through these trials for a little while. And then he says, if necessary. Here's the deal. If you're praying about something and haven't come through it yet, it's because God is using it in your life, and it's necessary. The Apostle Paul said, I've got this thorn in the flesh. He wouldn't describe it to us. We don't know what it was. He said, I prayed three times for God to remove it, and God kept saying, my grace is sufficient, my grace is sufficient. And then Paul comes a revelation of this. If he took it out, I would be prideful. He was so honest with himself. He said, it's there because I'm prideful. And he saw other people healed, and he wasn't being this one area, okay? And it's just because God thought it was necessary. And if you're going through a tough challenge, it's because God thinks it's necessary. And it says you may be grieved by them. That means you might be discouraged. You might be in your head going, God doesn't care, and God's not there. And it's the opposite. God does care. It's why he takes us on these journeys. And he says various trials. It may look different for everybody in the room. You might be dealing one thing. The person next to you might be doing something totally different. But they're all designed for the same thing. So the tested genuineness of your faith, which is more precious than gold, that faith is what God's looking for. This is why the story's there. What is God looking for? Do you trust me? You can't love someone if you don't trust them. Do you realize that? When someone breaks their trust with you, you don't love them like you did. It's like, I can't relate to you anymore. When a trust is broken, most times relationships are. Trust is huge. And it's like gold. It's so precious. And then he said, it may be found in you. That's the key. When everything's stripped away, will God see that gold-like faith inside of you, that you've come through this journey and you're different? God's calling us all on a faith journey, right? He's going to take us somewhere new, spiritually or emotionally, physically, somewhere different. And he's going to put in our life blessings, abundant blessings. We're going to face challenges, and we're going to come out different. And that's the story of Abram, and that's our story too. So let's pray over these things that we're going through, and let's let God take them and let him show us the way. Father God, in this time, you do have us on a faith journey. And I pray above everything else, in the good times of blessings and the difficult times of challenges, I pray above all else that we'll see you. That's what Abram experienced, an experience with the God of the universe, a personal one. We all pray for that, that you will show us the way, step by step, and we'll know when we get there because you will say we're there. Change us as we go. Refine us. Transform us. Help us to become more like your Son in complete obedience. Father, I pray for anyone that's going through a long-term trial right now. It doesn't seem like a short thing, but it's been a long time. I pray for them to be strengthened today for the next step of the journey, that you are there with them. For those that are blessed right now, Father, we just thank you for the blessings of life. There's so many. And above all, we thank you for Jesus, who's called us on this journey. May we hear his voice and respond to him and just rest in him. And may we allow him to take away everything that we don't need in our life, so it's just left with what's best. Father, continue to lead us by your Holy Spirit. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.